Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 120 for the week of July 12th, 2021. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. You can also download a PowerPoint presentation that includes images of those same charts you can use in your own presentations. Just a quick heads up that this will be a shorter than usual episode of the podcast, as the latest week didn't bring much in the way of economic data. Rest assured, however, that we will make up for it next week and then some. Okay, let's talk about the spot market for the week ended July 9th, which is week 27 of the year. Because this is not a big week for podcast content, I will cover the spot market as thoroughly as I usually do, but it is important to recognize at the top that this week included the federal observed Independence Day holiday, July 5th, so it was a given that volume would be lower than in week 26. Load postings in the truckstop.com system fell 16.5%. Coincidentally, that is almost exactly the scope of the decline during the week that included Memorial Day. Total spot rates were down about 8 cents, which is the largest drop since the first week of this year. With the holiday distortion, we will have to wait a couple of weeks to see whether seasonality is returning to the spot market. June traditionally has been the peak of volume for the year. With the economic rebound from contraction, the market saw no seasonality in 2020, of course. Given that the third round of stimulus occurred 3 months ago, the market lacks some of the upward pressure that fueled extreme metrics earlier this year. However, supply chain disruptions and lagging capacity continue to support strong spot volumes. Moreover, further stimulus is returning with monthly advanced child tax credit payments that begin this week and that will continue through December. Okay, let's talk about capacity. An 8.7% decline in truck postings was much smaller than the load postings decline, and that resulted in the market demand index, which is the ratio of loads to trucks in the system, declining to its lowest level since week 6 of this year. However, the market demand index, specifically in the dry van segment, barely moved, as the decline in truck postings was almost as large as the decline in volume. The refrigerated and flatbed MDI saw sharper declines, but the refrigerated MDI was still close to its strongest level of the year if you exclude the weeks that were distorted by February weather and by the International Road Check event. Okay, let's look at volume by segment. Dry van load postings fell 14.8%, which is the largest decline since Memorial Day week, not surprisingly. Dry van volume was nearly 37% above the same week last year, and that's the smallest year-over-year comparison since Thanksgiving. However, the observed Independence Holiday week fell. In week 26 last year, so the comparison is distorted. But it is true that comparisons certainly are easing anyway, due to last year's post-contraction surge. Dry van volume was 142% higher than the five-year average for the week, which we use 2015 through 2019 for to avoid the wild swings of 2020. Refrigerated load postings fell 15.7% during the week. Like dry van, the largest decline since the Memorial Day week. Refrigerated volume was 80% higher than the same week last year, which is the smallest comparison since week 11 of the year, when the year-over-year comparison was just 37%. You might recall that week 11 of last year saw a big surge in refrigerated volume that was associated with grocery restocking after the panic buying by Americans in the early days of the pandemic. Volume in week 27 was about 180% higher than the five-year average. Flatbed load postings dropped 18.2%, which is the sharpest decline since the holidays late last year. Unlike dry van and refrigerated, which saw small gains heading into the holiday, flatbed had also posted a sharp decline in week 26, and that suggests that the segment's recent weakness goes beyond holiday distortions. Indeed, volume in week 27 was 49% lower than record volume posted in week 19, but we do presume that flatbed will see a solid post-holiday growth in volume in week 28, just because of volume being so low during the holiday week. Flatbed volume was nearly 57% higher than in the same week last year, and 164% higher than the five-year average. Noticeable rate declines are common around the July 4th holiday, although frequently they occur the week following the holiday week rather than during the holiday week itself. The broker-posted rate per mile, excluding fuel surcharges, fell about 8 cents, as I said at the top of the podcast, and that was about 40% above the same week last year. Dry van rates fell about 12 cents and were about 30% higher than the 2020 week. Refrigerated rates dropped about 18 cents and were about 37% higher than the same week last year. Flatbed rates fell nearly 6 cents and were about 44% higher than the same 2020 week. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about fuel. The national average price of diesel was higher for the 11th straight week, but only by 6/10 of a cent. The average price of $3.338 a gallon is the highest price since November of 2018. Over 11 weeks, diesel prices are up more than 21 cents, but as I have mentioned before, 11 cents of that gain occurred during just 2 weeks in May. Meanwhile, crude prices remain solidly above $70 a barrel. Now, if there's any good news in that, it's that the West Texas Intermediate crude recently has not risen above $75 a barrel as it did more than a week ago, but still don't expect much relief on diesel prices as a result. Okay, let's wrap up our weekly data by addressing the unemployment situation, which continues to improve modestly. Initial claims for unemployment benefits in state programs did rise, but only by 2,000 to 373,000 seasonally adjusted. But continued claims in state programs fell by 145,000 to 3.3 million, and continued claims in the two federally funded unemployment benefit programs fell by about 465,000 total to 10.7 million. Now, we'll remind you, as we've talked about several times in the last couple of months, that the federal bonus of $300 a week is ending early in many states and will end nationwide in September. As of July 12th, the federal bonus of $300 a week has ended in 23 states. Benefits will end in one more state, Louisiana, at the end of this month. Two other states, Indiana and Maryland, had planned to end the augmented federal benefits early as well, but they are under court orders that are blocking early termination. Okay, moving on. As I noted at the outset, depending on how the calendar breaks, there's this window between the monthly jobs report and when we get data on industrial production, manufacturing, retail sales, inventories, and inflation at the consumer and producer level. We have fallen into such a window, and that in the only economic indicators we have this week that we focus on are job openings and merchant wholesaler sales, and both of those actually are for May, not for June. Job openings in the U.S. economy edged very slightly higher in May, but it was enough to set a record for the data series that goes back to late 2000. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that job openings at the end of May totaled just over 9.2 million, which is up a scant 16,000 jobs, or job openings, from a downwardly revised April figure. As I mentioned earlier, these job openings figures lag other metrics that we're seeing already for June. As we discussed in the last podcast, the economy recorded a better-than-expected 850,000 new payroll jobs in June. Now, the job openings and the payroll employment are based on two different survey collections, so we wouldn't necessarily expect a direct correlation. But the strong June payroll figures do suggest that May could represent the peak for job openings, and especially so considering that, as I mentioned earlier, generous unemployment benefits have started to disappear. Let's dig just a little into the job openings data. They were the highest in healthcare and social assistance, representing about 16% of all job openings. Accommodation and food services represented about 14% of job openings. So those two combined, about 30%. The gap between the number of unemployed individuals and the number of job openings shrank to just 107,000, which is the smallest margin of the pandemic. In April 2020, the number of unemployed people exceeded the number of job openings by 18.5 million. Now, prior to the pandemic, job openings had consistently exceeded the number of unemployed people since March of 2018. Now, to be sure, comparing job openings and unemployed individual numbers has limited meaning, given that the skills and job requirements for those jobs that are open might not match the skills and experience of those who are unemployed. However, the comparison does provide insights, to some degree at least, into the tightness of the labor market. Finally this week, sales at the wholesale level rose 0.8%, seasonally adjusted, in May to the highest level on record. Merchant wholesaler sales in May were 14% higher than in the pre-pandemic month of February 2020. Sales of durable wholesale goods rose 1.7%, led by a 4.9% increase in lumber and a 4.6% increase in metals. No durable goods category was negative, although the second largest category in terms of volume of sales, professional equipment, was nearly flat at a gain of just 0.1%. Sales of non-durable wholesale goods were basically flat at a decline of 0.1%. So that's it for what might very well be the shortest episode of Truckee Market Update ever. Let's recap. Spot volume and rates fell during the holiday week. Diesel prices were up slightly in the latest week. Crude prices remain around $75 a barrel, but below that threshold. The unemployment situation improved modestly overall. Job openings edged higher to a record in May, and merchant wholesaler sales increased in May. Join us next week for a discussion of all those economic indicators I mentioned earlier. Trust me, you'll get your money's worth on that podcast. So that's it for FTR's Truckee Market Update, episode 120 for the week of July 12th, 2021. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Truckee Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and railcar. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.